Now it's time. Time to get your mind moving, reach for your dreams, and find happiness and success in your life. Welcome to The Mindset Man. And here is your host, The Mindset Man himself, Todd Raddis.
Welcome to the broadcast. This is The Mindset Man. I'm your host, Todd Raddis. And on today's show, I have a really special guest. I know him. I met him at an event last year, and I read his book, and I really enjoyed his book. Because if you've read my books, you're going to find that this man and I have very similar philosophies, and he got his philosophies primarily from his grandfather. So he wrote his book. It's called Lessons from My Grandfather, Wisdoms for Success in Business and Life. This is a fantastic book. You're going to want to pick this book up. The author's name is Mark Demetrio, and I have him here with us today. How are you doing, Mark? It's great
fantastic.
To see you.
Fantastic. Thank you for that great intro.
Oh, man, this book is phenomenal. It was such a joy to read. It was actually the first book I read when we got back from California last year.
Oh, nice. And you got a lot of books. I know that.
I had a stack. This was the first one, though. Well, quite frankly, when I saw that you won the 2018 San Francisco and Los Angeles Book Festival Awards, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be the first one out of the gate.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. Puts it on top of the list a little bit. And, the quote from Barbara Corcoran on the cover doesn't hurt.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt at all. Not at all. It is a great book. It's a good read. But coming up with just four or five questions for a 25-minute show was tough.
Yeah,
because there's so much we could cover in here.
The manuscript was 350 pages when I wrote it. 350 pages. It's down to 176 pages complete now with everything. So believe me, I know what you're talking about. A lot of material.
Yeah, there's a lot of material, and it's laid out well. So your grandfather seemed like an amazing man. Would you want to give our listeners a little bit of a background on him?
Yes. Yeah, so I don't even know where to start, but I'll start with some of the basics. So you're talking about an individual that had such wisdom and insight and guidance and positivity inside him. And when you learn a little more as you go through this, and hopefully if you read the book, you'll understand the trials and tribulations he went through in life and still had that positive attitude. It's amazing to me. I never heard this man say negative thought, negative statement, negative words, like just an amazing man of just positivity, as I said before. The best part is, he retired when he was 60, and for 37 years, he died in 97. Those 37 years, I happened to be just born at the time when he retired, which was ironic, but he was in my life as my mentor, my man of wisdom, my grandfather, my best friend. So he showered me with so much information his whole life. So that's just the kind of the guidance, and that's why I wrote the book, to share my mentor with the world, to give back for all the advantage that I had. So that's just a little insight.
Right, and I mean, I'm going through this, and you know, my book, is your three horses, desire, passion, and persistence. And you hit everything that I talk about in my book from just this completely different angle from a mentor view.
Right.
And I thought it was beautiful. And there's pictures in here of you and him, and there's heartwarming spots. And it's just, he sounds like an amazing man. It would have been a real pleasure to know him.
He was, and you know, to tell you just how he was. So he was Mr. Hospitality. His whole life, that's why he was in the restaurant business. That's where he belonged there. He was Mr. Hospitality. He couldn't do enough for people, always smiling, always gracious, always polite. You know, he was this 5'2" little peanut, but just loved life. And I'll tell you something too, where it comes from. When he came here in 1929, 3 weeks after the stock market crash, all right, so it was the worst nightmare you can imagine, like that disaster, the depression was just starting. And he basically lived in an apartment with six other guys, slept on the bed one night a week. That was his beginning of life here, you know. Food lines, you know, he started shining shoes in the streets of New York. And I remember him telling me this. It was probably the most profound statement he ever said. He said, Mark, when I was here with the ability to work, my first opportunity really working as a shoe shine boy on the streets of New York, I had such honor in the labor, knowing that I was actually working and making money and helping people and making them happy with their shine shoes. And they were happy with my passion. And I was happy. I was doing my job. I was excited. I was talking to them. And, you know, and he really got it at a young age. He said, you know what? I got it at a young age that have passion for what you do, you know, want to care about other people's, whatever your product is, sales or service, and get the job done the right way. And they'll come back for more. And they did come back. So he kind of realized at a young age, just all those philosophies. And he actually said too, which was great. He goes, when I was shining their shoes or when I was, you know, making a lot of money later on in life, I never thought for a second or felt that I was beneath these people. And even when I made money in life, I never thought I was above anybody. And that's powerful. powerful and profound, all that stuff, to understand that he was just doing a good job and doing the best he could, and people enjoyed his passion and excitement. And for that, they came back to see him again. They loved his persona, his energy. You know what I'm saying? It's powerful.
It is powerful. And it's something that a lot of new entrepreneurs and even lifelong business people seem to forget, that you're in the service business in any business if you have a client.
Yeah.
And that going out with service and enjoying doing that and carrying people and lifting people up, it really does. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the things that you talked about was, I'm not sure if this is a quote or not, but your passion, your purpose and your passion is the motivation to get up and do what you love.
Yeah, this is everything. This is all a combination of what he said and what I wrote. I mean, and there's a chapter called, you know, Purpose and Passion in the book. You know,
right.
And one chapter is Action and Attitude. And these are the first few chapters after we talk about him. So you talk about, you know, and digging deep into this book and digging deep into life, you know, what's your purpose? You know, what's your purpose in life? What's your purpose in your mission of what you want to accomplish, whether it's with family or friends or business, and your passion behind that, being passionate about everything you do in life. You know, there's a mindset. And that's why it's perfect. I love the name of your show, The Mindset Man, because there's a mindset you have to have to go through life in each moment, in each thing you're doing, having realization of really what you're doing. And is it what you want to be doing? Do you care enough to be doing it? You know, I say to people, and this is a quote I use, even my daughters or whoever's competitive sports people, is if you give 100% commitment to yourself in life, if you commit yourself 100% in life to whatever you're doing, you'll never be disappointed with your effort. And that's a powerful statement. And I actually made that up. But if I say it again, if you give 100% commitment in life to whatever you're doing at that moment, 100%, you'll never be disappointed with your effort. And this is what I tell people: achieve excellence, work towards excellence, be the best you can be at whatever it is you're doing. And life will be better that way. So it's deep stuff, but the purpose and passion part is essential to succeed in life and be successful in life.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I wake up early every morning and love what I'm doing. And, you know, it is a feeling that a lot of people don't have. They wake up and they might go to a job that they truly dislike. You know, I don't like to use the word hate too often, but, you know, they might really dislike this job. And instead of trying to get themselves onto a path and taking the actions that are needed to change their lives, they kind of get stuck in these ruts.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about action and attitude and living both in your book. And it really, you have to, by getting up in the morning and loving what you're doing and having a passion for it, you end up just being able to get up and do it and put your 100% in. I couldn't agree with you more, because if you give 100%, you couldn't have given any more.
Right.
That's so you've it. Got exactly. The best results you could get.
And whatever you're doing, you can't, you know, people say, well, you can't split up 100% in all the things you do. No, it's not about that. It's what you're doing at that moment. Whatever you're doing at that moment, if you're with your kids, you're with your wife, or with your girlfriend, or with your friends, your parents, whatever you're doing, just be committed to that time. Don't be distracted. Give yourself, especially athletes, give you 100%. And that really quote with for athletes, if you're committing yourself every single game and every minute, you're giving 100% effort and dig deep in whatever you're doing, you'll never be disappointed with your effort. No matter how the team does, whether win or lose, you'll say, I did the best I could as an individual and as a team. And that's big for sports. You know, big for sports.
I couldn't agree more. And one of the other things that you talked about that I myself am real big on is being grateful to everyone for everything they've brought you in your life. And I believe that you actually quoted your grandfather on the being grateful portion of the book. So would you like to expand on that a little bit more? Because
absolutely.
I love the topic.
So absolutely. Thank you. So, you know, he would say a lot of things, the 15 lessons in the book that are part of the main is, you know, be joyful, you know, be awake and alive to suffering others, but the gratefulness and who he was and who he allowed him, who he actually helped in his life. The part about him that people don't really understand unless they knew him, he helped so many people in every way possible, whether it's get jobs, whether it was to help, help them with money sometimes or help them with connections. But outside of that and helping others, never wanting to receive back, but he was grateful for everything in life. When I tell you this man, every single dinner we'd sit down, whether it was at a restaurant or at my parents' house or wherever we were, he would say, this is the best meal I ever had. because it was the most current meal he ever had, and he was happy with that meal. He would always say that. The man would tip everybody at a restaurant. He dollar here or there, the busboy, the maitre d', the waiter, the, you know, the people that come and take and give him the bread. Like, he was just a person to make everyone feel like they were special, you know, that you were something. So, because he had gratitude in that life for everything, and he was very grateful. He felt he had an angel on his shoulder his whole life. This man could have ended up dead 5 different times. You know, he was in World War II. He was starving on the streets of New York. He left Cyprus at 16 by himself on a vessel to Greece, feeding the animals just to be able to get a free ride there. You know, he was in the tanker there. Mm-hmm. So there's a gratitude part of life in general. So he was very grateful for everything in life, so every part of life.
Can you tell me a little bit more about, I mean, that's pretty amazing, the way he got to Greece and then ended up in the U.S.?
Yeah. So what happened was, and this is really the another profound part of my makeup, hearing this story, I can never fail in life. So he was 16, you know, and he was poor. They were poor in the island of Cyprus. You know, it's an island, it's mostly Greeks, but it's an island nevertheless. And his father was the horse and buggy taxi person for the island. You know, he had his horses, he'd take people around. He'd be gone for weeks at a time, taking people around the island. And they had a couple horses. And my grandfather knew that he wanted to be successful and make money or just be able to support himself and his family. He knew there was a pharmacist in the area, the village area, that made good money, the only foreign pharmacist. So he said, I want to go to school to be a pharmacist. And he was in school, and in junior year, my great grandfather pulled him out, saying, I can't afford to keep you in school anymore. And I'm gone for weeks at a time. Sometimes you got to help your brothers and your mother with the house and the horses. I kind of need you to be involved. You know, I can't let you go to school anymore. So he did that for a little while. And he said, you know what, to himself, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be stuck in this island. My family's poor. It's not fair to my dad works so hard. I'm out of here. I'm going to go make a life for myself and help my family send money back. So at 16, he, in the middle of the night, left and went to the docks, worked out getting a ride to Greece, like I said, free ride. And his dad found out through the villagers he was leaving. And his dad came out to the dock in the middle of the night and said, son, you know, I'm not going to stop you. I kind of know why you're leaving. And, you know, you have my heart and our good wishes and my love. And I'll tell your mother in the morning you left. I mean, that was kind of like the most profound thing I could ever hear about in my life, you know what I'm saying? And he left on his journey. And he was on that, you know, boat, you know, scared to death, saying, what did I do? You know, and he never looked back. He went to Greece for 2 years, worked there for a lawyer, made money, saved enough to go to London, then worked, became a telegraph operator there, saved enough money to come to America, and then came here and started going from there. But this man decided, I'm going to die trying and not stay here. So basically, I'm going to die trying, or I'll stay here and not die trying. Like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go and make my way, and I'm going to do everything I can in my power to get something going in life and be successful. And he never stopped sending money back to his family ever. Always sent money back to his parents and his brother and sister, never forgot them along the way. But that's part of like the profoundness of this man, what he did at his age. I'm like, how could I possibly fail in life after what he did? You know, and that's the profound part of the book, many parts of it.
Well, that's an amazing story, because that journey for a young man of 16 years old, of course, it was a different day and age. 16, you were a man back then.
Yeah, right.
And you had your responsibilities. But to make that decision and then go through all those steps to finally get to America, and then really he was successful on every part of the journey.
Yeah.
He made something of himself every time, and he had no doubts about himself. Yeah. And you're right. It is profound. It's an amazing story. Right.
And when he got here to the streets of New York, like I said, so he basically started the bus, shoe shine, and then he worked as a busboy. And that was his first big break, because from there, to just accelerate that part of the conversation, he started as a busboy and then waiter and worked his way up to manager. And then this is where all the connections come in. Someone he knew got him a job at another place. They was there for like 20 years and worked his way up there to manage the whole facility, and met a lot of wealthy, successful people, became friends with all of them for all those years. He learned about the stock market, taught himself how to invest, and he got tips and, you know, good legal tips from people how to do things. So he became a student of life and knowledge. And he would tell me things too along the way. Mark, when people are telling you something, even if you know the punchline of the joke or the ending or the information, let them finish, because maybe you'll learn something from them you don't know. He was a student of knowledge and of learning and being humble, and letting people talk and listening. Like, all this stuff he just self-taught, you know? And then the last 20 years, he ended up being one of the managers at the Westside Tennis Club in Flushing, Queens, or Forest Hills, where they have all the U.S. Opens. So this man wore a black tux for the last 20 years of his career. He met Frank Sinatra, was friends with Frank Sinatra, John F. Kennedy he met. This is all the rich and famous were there. In the 50s and 60s, tennis was everything. Tennis and horse racing, you know? Yeah. So here's the man that was Mr. Hospitality. He was in his space. He was in his zone. He was meant for that space. So he never stopped. He retired at 60, basically a millionaire. I mean, it's just how you short and sweet, you know. And it's just, it's an unbelievable story. He went to World War II. He was in Normandy Beach invasion. First time he ever saw planes in his life was when he looked up in that big invasion. He saw hundreds of planes in the air above him. And he was in one of the ships bombing the land. He was putting artillery into the cannon. So here's a guy that experienced life. And he never complained about anything that he saw and was involved in there. Except, you know, the people died and, you know, saw a lot of the dead bodies and prisoners and all that stuff. It was kind of hard to see that. But just anyway, I'm going on a tangent, but all good stuff, you know.
No, you're not on a tangent because it's such a great story. And you kind of brushed on a question that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. And it's find your mentors. And I'm big on the creating beneficial associations by being beneficial first. And that's exactly what your grandfather did.
Yeah. He was, well, he found a lot of mentors because when he worked at one of the clubs he worked at, the first one, it was all really the rich and, you know, rich and successful people, the place that he was working at. So he became friends with all these people and they enjoyed his company. Again, they didn't feel he was beneath them. He was one of the guys, you know, he was a manager there, but they were all, you know, wealthy people, but he looked at them all as mentors and listened to all of them. And then again, in turn, he was my mentor, you know, in life. And so this is why I wrote the book, to give now all this back to the world, the mentorship and guidance to the world that I had that made me successful. So it's almost like a blueprint to success, you know, similar to Barbara's quote, and a superb success guide, unlike any other, will help you achieve the success you deserve in life and business. And that's kind of the essence of my book, essence, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's laid out, and for anybody who's listening, who's a Napoleon Hill fan, I mean, 3/4 of Napoleon Hill's philosophies, this man was practicing every day of his life,
right,
without even knowing he was doing it.
Yeah.
And it leads me, you know, to a thought, and I'm a Napoleon Hill junkie, and he says, you know, some people find it incidentally and other people have to do it on purpose. This was just who your grandfather was.
Amazing. Amazing. In fact, the first book that I ever read, and I read it every year for 10 years, was Think and Grow Rich. First book I ever read, about the same age, about 16 years old. I read it every year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, every year.
I didn't get into it till about 20 years ago. I was reading science books, and I've never been a big pleasure reader, like, you know, fantasy stuff.
Right.
Always been into physics books and all that. And, right. And then I found Think and Grow Rich and started reading. I try to read the book annually now.
Yeah, it's a great book. And my grandfather didn't tell me to read. I kind of stumbled across it, but it's funny because a lot of those philosophies and wisdom was similar to what I was hearing from my grandfather. But it's those years, you know, 20s and 30s, you know, he passed away when I was 37. So all those years, the 20s and 30s, when you really absorb what your grandparents or your parents are trying to tell you, you know, you're a young kid at 16. But so between him and reading that book to a little bit on the side, it was all kind of similar philosophies. But I didn't think about all that till, again, later on in life when I said, I got to write a book about my grandfather. But so it's all that good stuff that's in Napoleon Hill's, you know, mantras as well.
I always say, you know everything till you're about 30, then you find out you don't know so much, and then you get to 40 and find out you know next to nothing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. At least your kids tell you that too.
Yeah.
They'll reinforce that.
So we're getting down to our last few minutes, and in the book you talk about the nature of success. And I'd like to close out with that, because this whole book is mindset. It's from one spectrum to the other.
Absolutely.
But the nature of success is, you know, it's individual. And I'd like to get your view on the nature of success for you and maybe somebody else.
Absolutely. And I have a nice section on that in the book as well, as you saw. So success for me, and what I've been brought up to understand, it's not about monetary success. This is a big difference. People need to understand this. My grandfather taught me to live below my means, clearly taught me that in a big way. So success is about what you want out of life. Success to you is your plan, not living someone else's dream. What do you want for life? Do you want to have a plane and a boat and, you know, travel the world? Do you want to just have a white picket fence and a family with a dog and live a good life and vacation once a year and not work so hard? What do you want success to be? You have to map that out and then conquer it and accomplish it. So success isn't monetary. People think that it's monetary. It's not. You could have a successful family life and business life and be a bit successful parent, successful friend. There's success all around us. So you have to choose how you want to live your life. You choose every day. You make little choices every day of your life, from the minute you get up, the minute you go to bed. So when I say to people, what do you want your success to be? Don't worry about other people, what you see on TV or around you. What do you want your success to be? What do you want your life to look like? And then you got to work towards accomplishing that. And you lay out a plan to conquer it. You know, I tell people, if they're not happy where they are in their lives at any age, young, old, take your life in separate buckets and work on each of those aspects of your life and succeed and build them up to where you want them to be. Don't look at your life as one big bucket because it's too hard to accomplish everything one time. Whether it's your weight or your relationship with your wife or your husband or your kids or your business or social or you want to travel more, whatever it is, look at your life in segments. You can map your life out. You could be anything you want in life. You could do anything you want. You just got to sit down and map it out. And let me tell you, life comes with challenges. And to accomplish anything big, sacrifice, dedication, commitment, overcoming obstacles, hardships, setbacks, tragedies. I can go on and on. That's called life. And we don't learn that enough. And when I speak at colleges and high schools, I try to drill these in kids because teachers don't tell them. Life will be difficult. Life will be hard. There'll be tragedies. Like I just said, all these hard things. That's what life is. You're not hearing it enough. It's not going to be an easy road, but you got to go through these things. You got to go through the mountains. You got to go over the mountains. You got to figure it out because life is going to be all about this tough stuff, not the easy stuff. So this is kind of really, I'm going on a big tangent, but I want people to understand success is about accomplishing tasks and goals and dreams of where you want to be. So you got to decide what your success looks like and then just be relentless. Be relentless to achieve that success. Doesn't mean watching TV every night. Doesn't mean working 9 to 5. Be relentless. If you want something bad enough, like some of these motivational speakers love, I love when they say, if you want something more than you want to breathe, you'll get it done, right?
So absolutely.
That's the power of success in an animated version.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that. I actually, you know, I have my own coach and mentor, as you know, and I just picked up another one. And that's one of the things I talked to him about. I said, I will go sit down and start working to the complete ignoring of everything else that's going on. And I need help finding that balance again, because I love what I'm doing so much.
Right.
And I'm in a situation, my wife travels a lot.
Yeah.
And when she's gone, it's just me and the dogs. And I can get get into this office studio area and be in here 16, 18 hours.
Right, right.
And like, wow, I should probably sleep. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and
that's why you should, and yourself, you should probably have, you know, have a proper plan of allocation of time. It's time. It's just really time allocation. You know,
and when I don't have my balance here and she's out traveling, I just get lost.
Right. Well, because you love what you do, and that's a good thing too, but you got to balance it out, right?
Right. So I actually hired another coach recently who's going to work with me a little bit, because that's something else that a lot of people don't understand. And whenever I hear the word mentor and coaching, I picture somebody kind of helping you. They're there to see the mistakes you're making.
Yeah.
You may not be making a mistake. Like, working 16 hours a day towards your goal isn't necessarily a bad thing until it gets to the point that you're sacrificing the other sections of your life, and now you're really not successful anymore.
Right, because now you're working 80-hour, 90-hour weeks, and you're making what you're making, but you're making half of it, actually. You're working double time.
So, right.
And you're not enjoying your life. So, you know, you got to decide to hire some staff, pay them X so you can make Y and Z, and then live your life.
Right.
You know, don't worry about it. So you need to spend money to make money. You need to have a plan of action to spend money to make money. So this all plays in. When you hear people say, I work too hard, I'm working too many hours, how many assistants do you have? None. Well, there's your problem. You know, how much staff do you have? I have 3. You should have 5. So, yeah, right. This is all, you know.
Well, that's where I'm at right now. I actually talked to my wife last weekend when she was home, and I said, I need a personal assistant.
Yeah, 100%. Value in that person will make you more money and give you quality of life.
Oh, absolutely.
Part of that. Yeah.
And she's getting ready to leave for 2 months when I'm on a rip with this new radio show. And I got my second book coming out in about a week here.
Nice.
Probably be out by the time this airs. Nice. That's called Care More, Make More, 15 Concepts for Successful Leadership and Management.
Love it. Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I can't wait to get that one out, because I always enjoyed teaching that. And that kind of goes into the mentoring. I enjoyed helping people achieve what I was when I was in management. Through mentoring, you know, I never worried about making money with it or anything.
Right.
But anyways, I'm sorry. I'm getting off on a tangent now here. So Mark, why don't you tell us what you've got going and then coming up here in our last couple of minutes.
Yeah. So right now, I mean, no, listen, the people can log on to grandfatherlessons.com is the book website, grandfatherlessons.com. I have my own site, markdemetrio.com, but you know, that's where you can read more about the book. But for me right now, I'm doing very selective, whether appearances or selective speaking engagements. I did a lot last year. I traveled a lot. I spoke a lot. You know, I run a mortgage business. You know, I run a mortgage branch, I should say, and I'm in the mortgage business. So I'm busy with that. But the speaking and the authorship is really part of my life as well. I'm not going to stop doing that. So I enjoy it. So I'm doing selectively more private events right now. I'm actually maybe going back to Cyprus to do a big speaking event there. which is exciting, but just nothing on big on stage where people can see me at this point yet that I can put on, put out there. So more private events.
More private events.
Companies,
okay.
Yeah, well, doing business firms, banks, law firms, accounting firms, business companies, just going in and speaking more on that level, more of a crowd level.
Well, I knew that you were hitting it last year because you were at almost every event I showed up at. And I'm like, just don't run into the same guy every single time show up somewhere. But you were out there hitting it. And, you're an inspiration to the people around you, and you're a wonderful person to know. And it's obvious that the grandfather had an influence on you here. So
Thank you.
For my listeners, please go out and pick up Mark's book. Let me see if I can get some off glare there. And there we go. Go get Mark's book. It's a great read. It's very heartwarming. You'll really enjoy it. And I want to thank Mark for coming on and sharing with us today. So, Mark, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. And you're a good man. It's my pleasure. And I'm glad we got to meet, and we'll be friends for life. I appreciate it.
I'm sure we will. And to my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and catch us next week on The Mindset Man.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of The Mindset Man. We greatly appreciate you have taken the time to be with us today. You will be where you believe you will be. You will find the show at toddradis.com or inspirednewsradio.com. Have a great day, and we will see you soon.